Hi, friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mama.Wife Life podcast. I am your hostess, Brittany, and each week we'll be gabbing, bragging, and unpacking about life. So grab yourself a drink, get yourself comfortable, and get ready to be inspired. So, welcome, guys. This is episode 5, I believe. So that's super exciting. So this is a very special episode. We have a new person who's going to be involved, and we are going to do it a little bit different. You guys are going to know who I am. You're going to know, you can follow me, but she's going to be the anonymous side. She's going to be the one that's going to talk about all the shit that people sometimes don't want to talk about because they don't want you to know who they are. Well, she's going to be your person. So each week we will be contacting each other. She does not live in the same country as I do, so it'll be very interesting because she has two little ones and she will have them around, so you will hear them because, again, this is the Mama.Wife Life podcast, so that just goes hand in hand because we are moms and that is real life, and that's what this podcast is supposed to be about. As well as my husband and I have talked, and we are going to start doing a bonus episode every month, and it's just going to be husband, wife, no holds bar, and we're going to just get down with it, and we're going to just be completely raw and honest about parenthood. So all that aside, I have a extra special thing here. I'm going to connect it, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And I will look forward to hearing your comments. There we go.
All right.
Welcome to my podcast, my lovely friend.
Hi.
Hi.
So, today's topic.
Yes. Today's topic is all about the sex.
Don't even know where to begin. Okay, so I guess just quickly, I'm a mother of two boys. I have a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old, and I am married, been married for, how long have I been married for? 2 years and a bit.
Because you got married when you're pregnant, right?
Yes, with my first,
same as,
yes.
The same as me. We're like twinsies.
I know, twins. I was 33 weeks. Yeah, I was 33 weeks when we got married. Mm-hmm. Great fun. So, okay.
Sex. Well, let's talk about sex. The wonderful world of postpartum, after baby, sex.
So, okay. I have had 2 natural vaginal water births, unmedicated, completely on my own. So many things that they don't tell you. They talk about, you know, pregnancies, uncomfortable pregnancies, this pregnancies, that your body, this, that, and the other is different afterwards. But they don't really talk about a lot of little things, I guess, that can make big differences in your life. So for me, before kids, pretty normal person, I would say. Good sex life with my now husband. Everything was good. Then I got pregnant and I noticed that I did not want him to touch me. Didn't want him near me. Didn't want him around me. Didn't want him to look at me.
And I can relate to that myself.
And they don't talk about that.
about that. Yeah, it felt to me like when I was committing to like actually having sex, it was just like, oh my God. And then it was like, oh my God, what if I don't look good? What if it doesn't feel good? What if it hurts? What if it's this? What if it's that?
Oh my gosh, there's so many things. So many things. Yes. So for me, I don't know about anyone else because I've heard mixed things. Some people feel this way, some people don't. But I just, like, a switch went and I was no longer a wife. I was no longer a friend. I was no longer a partner. I was no longer me. I was just a mom. And my whole entire body and being and everything went into growing a human, birthing a human, and then taking care of that human. And mm-hmm. I just, like, people talk about hormones and all of those things, right? But for me, I think it was more than just hormones. Like, I've wanted kids my whole life. And so it was like, I finally got that. And I was just, my whole body was focused on that and only that. And mm-hmm. no matter what I tried, it made no difference. And then there's all of those little things that just added to that. So for me, with my vaginal water birth, I ended up having a very, very fast, very intense birth, mm-hmm. which most people are like, oh, yay, it only lasted a couple hours. But what they don't tell you when you have a short labor is that your body can do things like shutting down and only focusing on having a baby. So I didn't eat. I didn't drink. I couldn't go to the bathroom, either one. And it was rolling contractions, and the contractions started at like 3 minutes apart and for a minute long. And that's usually when you go to the hospital. So for me, it was very, very intense. And by the time I got to pushing, mm-hmm. I was so physically exhausted. And I remember getting back in the pool and the midwife being like, okay, like, we're going to have this baby. And she's like, but you can't push yet because you're going to tear. And I was so dead set on not tearing, because I was mm-hmm. like, I'm having a water birth. So now I've got like a 5% chance to tear. I've got this. I can do this. Well, I'm in that 5%.
No.
My son came out so fast. It was like 2:10 when my waters broke with my first push. And 25 minutes later, there he was. And I think the way that I was also positioned in the pool kind of contributed to it. But I ended up tearing. And okay, cool, lots of women tear. Mm-hmm. But most women tear vertically.
Yeah.
I managed somehow to tear horizontally on both sides, up at the top. Pretty much where you would pee, I guess, sort of, just below that. And yeah. One on each side. So the one side, yeah, I like everyone's like, how did you manage this? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm amazing like that.
Yeah.
The one side, I only had 2 stitches and it wasn't too bad. The other side I needed 4 stitches for. And the midwife said that the skin was so broken, like it was falling apart, and she couldn't really stitch it very well. So she did the best that she could. And right at that point, I've just had a baby. I've got hormones. I'm like, okay, it's fine. Then you go home. You start healing, right? You bleed for your like 6 weeks, whatever. You know that it's going to be uncomfortable. You know that your body is different and it's changed. You've got hormones, all of these things, right? So here this whole time I'm going, it's normal. It's normal. I'm supposed to be uncomfortable. I'm not supposed to have fun. Like, all of these new aches and pains are part of being a mom, you know? Mm-hmm. And my stitches tore through. And that wasn't something that they tell you about or prepare you that it could happen. And so when that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Called my midwife freaking out. And she's like, well, there's nothing that we can really do for it. You just kind of have to let it heal. It's just going to be more uncomfortable.
You're like, okay, and so, perfect.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. So I definitely had a lot of comfort than I originally thought I would have. My back hurt a lot. And, I couldn't figure out where all of these new pains were coming from, right? Mm-hmm. Normal. Okay. Pregnancy, birth. So moving forwards, you know, you get to that 6 weeks and you get all cleared by your midwife or your doctor. And it's like, okay, let's do this. No, I did not want to do anything. It was still, don't look at me. Don't touch me. Don't come near me. Don't kiss me. But now it was, you're going to get me pregnant again.
Yeah.
Which legitimate fear. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
On top of, I've got new body, things sag, things hang. I have crazy stretch marks. My son grew so much in the last, like, month that I had insane stretch marks, insane. And they were so bad. And so I had a lot of loose skin and I gained a stupid amount of weight. Mm-hmm. And so I had all of those things going on. And then I was also afraid of getting pregnant. And I was like, okay. Like, I know this is irrational. Like, you know, we're going to use condoms. It's fine. Like, he can't get me pregnant from kissing me. We've been through that as children. You know, brushing up against me is not going to get me pregnant. But it's still a serious fear that just does not go away. And because I had some trauma from my birth being so incredibly fast, which, again, you don't hear that. You hear about the low, slow, like, 30-plus hour labors. I think mm-hmm. yours was 5 days, something
five,
like that.
Five days, and it ended in a C-section. And then when I came home, my C-section actually exploded open, and I had blood all over my bed, right? All over the floor.
And you're dealing with a newborn, like a and you've got a husband.
Yes. Yeah, it was terrible.
So much fun. So I was like, okay, we're going to do this. So, you know, I think I got to about 8 weeks, and then I was like, okay, I can do this. And it wasn't terrible, but mm-hmm. it was really uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. for the longest time after, you know, besides dealing with, I've got extra skin, I've got this, that, and the other. Is my vagina normal? Is it broken? Like, what does it look like? What does it feel like? Because I don't know about you, but I've never stuck a penis in my vagina, so I don't really know what that feels like.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, what does he think? How is this for him? Like, I just, so many things, right? Yeah. And then there's boobs.
Oh, you the leak. Leaky boobs.
You
the
leaky leak boobs. I so much.
The first time, like, my husband was, like, playing with them, and it squirted him.
Okay, like, and that's so awkward, too.
I was like, hey, you want to touch them? That is what's going to happen.
That's what you get. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for me, I went from about, I think I was, like, a big C, small D, 34. They were, like, a good size. They were perky. They didn't really need a bra. It was great. Mm-hmm. And I started leaking in about 14 weeks with my first. And I had to wear pads, like, all day. And I would have to change them sometimes multiple times a day because I was just leaking so much. And they grew at their height. They were about a 36F.
Oh, my goodness.
So they were massive. They were huge. And yeah. on top of leaking all of the time, you know, you've got a sports bra, nursing bra on with pads in. You're leaking everywhere. Your partner's trying to get you in the mood.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm so attractive with my extra fat tummy and my bra and my leaky boobs. It's great. Yeah. So much fun. Please touch them.
I went through that phase where I was like, yeah, we can have sex, but I'm keeping my bra on. And my boobs are not nearly as big as yours are. And I was still like, they're leaking. And I had a hard time with my husband touching them because I, all of a sudden, they went from being like these sexual things.
They're not
like
anymore. They're food.
Baby feeder. Yeah. And yes. I was like, do not touch them because it will immediately kill my mood. Like, don't. No.
That it's honestly, it's like a button. It's like you touch those and it's like, I'm feeding now. I'm not a sexual being. I am a mother. And it's really hard to shut that off. And so David was never, ever allowed to touch them. That just like was a no-go. Do not touch them.
Well, that was the same with Tom for a while. He like would like touch around them. And then when the time came where I was like, okay, you can touch them because I was pregnant again and my milk kind of dried up. He was like, yeah. Like the kid in the candy store, he was so happy. He's like, woo!
Right? Like most guys are like, oh yeah, big full boobs, woo! No, my husband was like, those scare me.
They scare me.
They scare me. I'm afraid of them. Like, that's so funny. Cool. Okay, so on top of them leaking and having stretch marks and this, that, and the other, now my husband doesn't even find them attractive. Fantastic. Yeah. So lots of things. Right then, mm-hmm. when we actually got to like doing it, it was uncomfortable. It was painful. And I go, okay, it's new. Like, my vagina's just birthed a human that, you know, it stretched and this, that, and the other, and this is going to be normal now. Well, no. Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of discomfort, yes, but there really shouldn't be pain. And no. I didn't know. I didn't know for the longest time, for over a year, I didn't know what was wrong. I just thought, this is normal now. And it wasn't until I was pregnant with my second, and I had gone to the emergency room at about 16 weeks because I was mm-hmm. in extreme pain in the front, and we couldn't figure out what it was. I thought I had maybe torn a bit of a ligament or something because the baby kept sitting on that side, which turns out I did, but that mm-hmm. wasn't the pain. And, you know, you went through all of the 500 questions and the touching and the this, that, and the other to try and figure out what it is. We couldn't figure out what it was. So they kept me overnight and sent me for an ultrasound. Mm-hmm. And I remember the tech being like, And like going in, can you just like go on your back and like just lean like this and getting me to move around and stuff. And then she goes, that looks like bone. And I don't think it's supposed to be there. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And she's like, I think that's your tailbone. And it looks like it's backwards. And I'm like, fantastic. Okay.
So you're like, I am turns never having out any more children. This one yeah. is like, we're done with
well,
this.
That was a legitimate fear. I was like, can I have more kids now? My tailbone yeah. is backwards. It's broken and it's healed backwards. I literally had a tail. I had a tail. For over a year I had a tail. 2 years almost I had a tail. And oh, I'm going, okay, so what do you do for this? So apparently this is a normal thing. I ended up posting, I think, on Facebook at the time and being like, didn't know this was a thing, but apparently you can break your tailbone in childbirth and it can heal backwards and you have a tail. And a shocking number of people, like my close friends, were like, oh yeah, that happened to me. And I'm yeah. like,
but then we don't talk about this. But no one talks about it, right? No. No one wants to be like, oh, this happened. And it's like, I don't know if it's shame or embarrassment.
Right.
But it goes hand in hand because you, of course, you're going to be embarrassed because nobody fucking talks about it. So
well,
you're
and nobody
be like
prepares you for it either. So when it happens, you're going, oh my gosh, this must only be me. Like, yes. What did I do wrong? It's my fault. And totally not. My son turned his head as he passed my tailbone. For those of you that have not had a vaginal natural birth, your pelvis opens up. Your tailbone goes backwards to allow the head to pass through. And when his head was right beside it, he was just like, hey, tailbone, and turned his head on me. And mm-hmm. I remember the midwife being like, oh, we're just going to wait for a minute. I can see his head in your back. We're just going to need him to turn. And I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah, what? Pardon?
That's
pardon
a thing.
You? Yeah.
Yeah. So found that out that was the cause of my discomfort. So then they're like, okay, well, you can go to physio, you can go to chiropractor, you can go to the osteopath, but chances are they can't fix it while you're pregnant.
So okay, I'm just going to stop cool. you there for a second because I had pain when I started to have sex with my husband after having my first, but we have two completely birth, like different birth stories. You yeah. had a vaginal birth, you had a water birth, it was a quick birth. I had a 5-day labor that resulted in being a complete, like, I wanted to have a home birth, water birth, and they were like, after 5 days, I was like, okay, if you could just like give me an epidural and let me sleep for a few days, then I could try.
Maybe
again.
I could do this.
And
yeah.
they were like, I remember the doctor being like, no, like the baby's coming today. And I was like, pardon? Like, you mean you just yeah. can't give me drugs and let me just.
But no, like, I just need a nap. Just give me a yeah. nap and it'll be fine. I'll get them out.
Yeah. Well, they gave me a shot of like gravel, and it was supposed to be gravel and something else, but because I took gravel a few hours beforehand, they couldn't give me the gravel. And they're like, this will knock you out. You'll be done. Like, you won't wake up. And so I come home, and it was like I was on like super high power brain. Like, I was like, I couldn't sleep. I was anxious. Oh, I felt like my skin was gonna jump off my body. And then on top of that, my contractions were like back to back to back to back to back. And all the yeah. midwives had for me was laughing gas, and they're like, well, this isn't going to help you because this is for like
okay.
when you're like,
just
right.
So everyone knows that doesn't always help. when I had that for when I was pushing with my first, I didn't feel it. I went through that gasp so freaking fast, and they're like, we can't give you anymore. And I'm like, but I don't feel anything.
Yeah. No, I wanted
to. My 2-year old just woke up.
Oh, no.
Mom life.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So I wanted to try and like delay it. And so they broke my water. Oh, baby.
Shh, 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 shh. And he woke up my 5-month old.
Oh, no.
Mom life. Okay, continue.
Okay. And so when I went to the hospital, they broke my water and they put me on like, what's that stuff?
The Pitocin stuff?
Yes, yes. And so they put me on a really low dose and it didn't do anything. And then finally, after being in labor for 5 days and then like being at the hospital for like 7 hours, I was like, I'm done. I have not dilated. Nothing has happened. And I'm like, you can just cut him out. And they're like, what? I was like, cut him out. Like, I'm done. And I'm like, are you sure? I was like, yes. And so they were like, okay. Because at that point, I've been eating all day.
So you couldn't have it then.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I totally did. But then my husband had to stand there with one of those, like, petri dish thingies of the, like, little – and catch my fruit explosion muffin puke as I puked on
when they're
cutting – yes, when they're cutting me open and taking my son out. And so we fast forward to like, you know, we're going to have sex and it hurt. It hurt. And it still sometimes hurts to this day. I've had 2 C-sections. I've not had a single vaginal birth. And it's like, I don't
and
know.
And you
what
still have pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so
people think like, you know, you have a C-section and you don't have any issues down there, but it happens. Surprise.
Oh yeah, it does. It does. Right. So, and that's why I wanted to talk about this because I've done a few episodes of touching on like little topics. And then I was sitting there yesterday and I was like, I want to talk about sex. I want to talk about sex and like postpartum sex.
Because, and so then you message me and you're like, so how about sex? And
I was like, the sex. Let's talk about the sex. And you're like, you sent me like a page and a half of like all these like topics. So I was like, yes, all of them. Things to talk about. All of them. Right? And so,
yeah.
So back to your situation.
Okay. So I didn't find out until I was pregnant with my second. And what had happened was, my tailbone went backwards with my first, and when everything was healing, which, again, nobody talks to you about, I remember being in, like, the physio with the physio lady after I had my first, like, that day, because I had, a class at the birthing unit that I was at, and so you go to the class, and they teach you about your pelvic floor and your tummy muscles and, like, how to get that stuff back, right? So I sat there, and I listened, and they don't tell you that your body might not go back to the way it was on the inside. And what I mean by that is your uterus is held up by ligaments. And those ligaments move, they expand, they do this, that, and the other to allow your uterus to grow. Well, when it shrinks back down, those ligaments are supposed to be there to catch your uterus, to hold it back in place again. And because of my tailbone, and I'm not sure exactly when this happened, but my pelvis was also tilted. So my right side was tilted forwards and the left side was where it should be. And because of that and my tailbone, when those ligaments went to go and catch my uterus, it didn't. And so my uterus ended up flopping over and I ended up with an inverted uterus, which, again, nobody talks about. And I had no idea. So what had happened, and I only found this out by going to the osteopath and the chiropractor and stuff, is that my ligaments, instead of holding up my uterus, my muscles actually were holding it up and acting as ligaments. So my whole insides were completely and totally messed up, and my ligaments weren't doing their job. My muscles were overworked and doing extra jobs. And my uterus was tilted. And so that's not something anyone talks about. And that is why I had so much pain after my first because my uterus was tilted. Nobody talks about that. It is a very common thing. A lot of women are born with it, and some women like me have it after having a first kid or a second or a third.
Well, I'm convinced that if, like, you were the only woman on Earth, you could probably just repopulate itself because you just, like, get pregnant and just pop them out, like, left, right, center. Like, pretty convinced. Like,
I'm good like that.
I think if it was up to me, I'm pretty sure the population would stop it, too. That's gone. Like, I'd be like, yeah, we're done here. This is where we're done.
My body loves being pregnant. It really, really does. It bounces back really fast, mostly. I mean, the weight and the skin, you know, you can only help so much. But healing-wise, like, I bounced back right away.
That's
and
normal.
Guess what?
It that's is. Normal.
But this again, is... nobody talks about that.
No, but think about how society, like, shames you. Like,
oh,
you better be back down to that size 3. Or you better be back down to that size 0.
And if you're not, you're lazy.
You're lazy. And you make sure that you get yourself back into shape so then you can be... like appealing to your husband, and I don't know where the hell
that's not a thing.
This shit happened because, like, I'm like, I'm sorry, like, I live in yoga pants, and I had 2 babies. I've been breastfeeding for over 3 years. Like, we did this together, okay?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So no.
I just with that, they don't talk to you about how your body is going to heal, the potential issues that could happen when it does heal. And the things that they do talk about, I never experienced. Things like, oh, if you exclusively breastfeed on demand, you don't get your period. Not a thing. Not
it
a thing at
me.
All. So while all of, yeah, see, so here we go. Completely 2 different things here, right?
Yes.
And you didn't even have a vaginal birth. You had a C-section.
No.
And I've heard that that can influence your milk and stuff as well, and your periods and this, that, and the other. Well, you didn't get yours. I got mine right back where it left off. Basically, I'm not even joking. I got pregnant in April, and the following year, what was it? The end of March. Mm-hmm. I pretty much right where I got pregnant, I got my period back. Like it never even left. And
so,
I continued to get regular periods.
Yeah.
And they never went away.
Really? So, like, me, I had my first, and I went for 10 months and didn't get my period back. And then my second, I went for a year and a month and didn't get my period back. Right?
See, I'm super jealous.
And I'm jealous that you got to have a water birth that I wanted. Right. But we're all so different. Right.
And you can't people cookie cutter things, and you really can't cookie cutter it. And even from one birth to the next, like, so different with my. So fast forward, I'm, you know, trying to have sex with my husband after this first one. And I really had to put effort into it, and I really had to, like, make a conscious effort to be like, I need to connect with my husband, and I know that I've got hormones, and I know that I don't want him anywhere near me, but, like, he's still my husband, he's still my partner, and he's important too. And he was so, so understanding about it all and so good about it all, thankfully. And I know that not everybody has that, but, you know, he was willing to work with me, and I had to think about things like, does he look at me the same? Am I attractive to him now that I've gone through this experience? And he was in the room with me. Like, he held my hand. He didn't watch our first son. He didn't watch either of the boys come out. But he was right there. And, you know, I finally asked him. I finally talked to him about this. And I said, you know, like, do you look at me differently? Like, my skin and my boobs and all of these things, like, do you see that? Like, what, like, you know, because I needed to get out of my own head with that, and I needed to talk to my husband, have open communication, which is what you're supposed to do with your partner, and ask him, and he's like, well, like, yeah, things are different, but I don't really think about that. Like, it's not really something that... it's not really something that I think of, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's normal for him. I know some men are very different with that. And some are like, oh, you had a baby. Like, oh yeah, come here. Mm-hmm. But he was kind of just like, I just see you, you know? So that really did help talking to him about that and opening up about it. And so fast forward, we got pregnant again with our second, which we planned. And I suddenly had more of a sex drive a little bit, but still not a lot. Like, I wasn't repulsed by my husband like I was the first time, which was good for him.
Yeah.
But as my uterus started to move and grow and it got out of my pelvis, it wasn't uncomfortable anymore. So that was, like, super nice. I still was in mom mode, and I still didn't really want anything to do with him, but it wasn't uncomfortable anymore, which was really, really nice. Oh, my gosh. Something else nobody tells you about when you have scars down there is you squat, you have your period, anything that puts extra blood flow down there hurts. Mm-hmm. It is uncomfortable. Yeah. And that's awkward. You go to the doctor, so my scars hurt down there, right? Like, what do you do for that? Nothing. Yeah. There's nothing you can do. No. That is your new normal. So, oh, wow. Yeah, that's fun to deal with. Where else? So my second child. So he was a much better birth experience than my first. I still got my natural vaginal water birth, but it was supposed to be a home birth. That didn't end up happening. I ended up having to be at the birthing center, different one. And it, you know what? It was actually a really good experience. And for me, not going into the second pregnancy and not knowing that my first was actually traumatic, and I actually had some PTSD from it, which again, you don't talk about. You get postpartum depression and you get all these hormones and things, but nobody talks about trauma from birth, which has a huge impact on you going forwards, on your sex life, on your relationship with your partner, on your relationship with your children, because that child essentially caused that trauma for you. Not that it was the child's fault, but that's just how this happens, you know?
Yeah.
And so for me, the second one was actually quite a healing experience. And yes, honey. He's like, yes, I was. He wants a boo.
That's
okay. So, and my second's not happy with me because I'm not cuddling him now.
Aww.
Mom life. Okay. So, yeah. So then the second one was actually much faster than my first. And it was a great experience. I was able to eat. I was able to drink. I was able to go to the bathroom. I moved around. I could talk. It was good. It was so good. And so when he came out, because my body's just so great at pushing babies out, decided that 5 minutes was enough time. So
many women would be like, oh my God, like, I'm so jealous. And then,
yeah. Right? So jealous. Oh my gosh, that's so fast. It took me an hour to push mine out. Blah, 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 blah. And often they do end in assisted births or in a C-section because it takes too long, or the baby's stressed or the mom's stressed or whatever, right? So they're like, oh my gosh, 5 minutes. My first, I pushed out in 25 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Well, my second one came out so fast. He came out in two pushes. The first push got his neck and his head out, but he had his hand on his face, which, let me tell you, is super uncomfortable. My first, it was, I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't know how anyone before me has ever done this. I'm going to break. It's not possible. Like, seriously, I literally said to myself the whole entire time, your body knows what to do. Your baby knows what to do. You can do this. Did I believe it for a second? Hell no, I did not. Did not believe it the whole entire time I said it, but I still kept saying it to myself because it was like, I know that this is true. I know that this is real, whether I believe it or not. So my second, I actually had my second set of waters broken when she was checking me. And because she's like, do you just want me to do it while I'm in here? It will be a lot faster. It'll be a lot more intense, but it'll be over with quicker. And I was like, just do it. Get it out. I don't care anymore. Just get it out. So then when I got in the water, 5 minutes. And my first push, Like I said, got to the neck and the head, and then the midwife had to move his hand arm so that I could do my second push and get the body out. And when she did that, she got him out, two pushes, the whole baby was out, but I ended up with tears again. So again, I was in that 5% of women who tear in the water. Thankfully, they were more normal this time. So that was good. So this time I ended up tearing, and I'm still a little bit fuzzy on the details, but I ended up tearing from more of the top and going sideways a little bit, but it was more of like a graze. I didn't get any stitches this time because they're like, it's going to heal better and faster if we don't stitch you, but it's going to hurt more. Until then, or we can stitch you and it won't hurt as much, but it might take a bit longer to heal. And I mean, there really isn't much to stitch, and you know, this, that, and the other. And so I chose not to get any stitches. The second one started from pretty much the bottom of the first and went sideways, going the other direction down to the bottom. So I had a whole nother set of scars to then deal with while I was healing, and again got my period back right away, like it never even left me. Yay, exclusively breastfeeding two babies on demand, and my body was like, let's make more
babies.
I'm ready. Yes. Let's make more. And I was like, can we not, like, just chill, please. So so then after the second, I remember healing, and I remember being like, things are a little bit off. Feels a bit funky down there. I was cleaning myself in the shower one day, and I was like, something doesn't feel right. Something is not completely right here. And so I went to the doctor, and I was like, it feels like the top of my vagina is trying to come out. Turns out I had a prolapse. Again, not something people talk about. But when you do talk to your friends about it, I can guarantee that at least one or two of them has also had one. Hold on, I'm just going to have to pause you for a second here.
Well, I appreciate you even doing this, because the first time we did it, it did not work. And now... It's like, because you are on the other side of the world, so it is your afternoon, and it's like my nighttime, so it's totally fine.
And my kids were supposed to be sleeping, and that didn't happen.
Hey, I got two kids, too. Like, my youngest is upstairs right now, probably just terrorizing my husband, because I was like, I have to go downstairs and do this. He's like, again, you have to do it again.
And my two-year-old just wants to cuddle me, and my five-month-old just wants me to hold him. Okay, so then I had a prolapse, and I, for those of you that, like, don't know what that would feel like or what that, like, entails, there's a couple different kinds that you can have. So for me, if you go, like, just on the top, on the inside of your vagina, there's like this ridgy, bumpy thing in like the roof, let's call it. And for me, that was no longer at the top. It was hanging down over the opening. Thankfully, when I went to the doctor, which, oh my gosh, let's just talk about that for a minute. So they, you know, she puts her fingers inside and, okay, now can you just cough for me?
Just like you do for the men.
Yeah. And I was like, like, so awkward. Is that enough? Like, do you need to cough harder? Like, oh no, that's good. And then she moves to the other side. Okay, do it again. And so she's like, okay, so the good news is that it's still inside, and when you cough, it doesn't fall out. And I'm,
you're like, oh good. Okay.
Good. Fantastic. Yeah. Hold on a second.
Yep.
And so I'm like, great, fantastic. And she's like, it's normal, and it should hopefully heal in about 3 months' time. But, like, come back in 3 months, thoughts. And if it's not, you know, getting sorted, then, you know, we need to look at some other things. And I'm like, great. Can I have kids? Like, can I have another one now? Like, does this mean I'm not allowed to have any more? Like, I don't know how this works because nobody talks about this. So you can have more kids depending on the type of prolapse you have and how well it heals and how severe it is and stuff. So for me, thankfully, I'm at 5 months now and it seems to mostly be healed. I don't seem to have, it's still not completely healed and I don't know if it ever will be fully, but it's not unusual anymore.
And this, I'm assuming this probably causes some issues with your sex life.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hello. Hello. Oh, there you are. You're back.
This must have caused
problems. I just got dinner on.
Okay. Sorry. Hello?
It's okay.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay, so, you keep going in and out.
Oh, no. So this causes problems with your sex life, I'm assuming?
Yes. Yes, that's where I was going. So, the first time with my second, after having my second, I can only really explain it as probably one of the most traumatic sex experiences of my life.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Because at that point I didn't know that I had the prolapse. This was before I found out that it was there, before I knew what it was, before I knew that it was even a thing. And I was just like, it feels funky down there. But I was like, I've had 2 kids naturally. That's going to happen. You know, I mean, it expands to what size? Like a dinner plate, a watermelon, something stupid and ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And, so I'm like, okay, like, it's probably not going to be as it was the first time. Because the first time, I was so tight afterwards. Which, again, nobody talks about. They're like, oh, it's so loose afterwards because you pushed a baby out. No, like, it was so much tighter after the first time. And it was, like, a challenge. It was, instead of, you know, like, oh, let's have, you know, a little warm-up. It's like, let's take 6 hours to warm you up and hope that we can still get it in.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was a serious issue, which most people would be like, oh, fantastic, I'll take that. No, it's not fun. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable for anyone involved.
Yeah.
So my second, right, I go into that going, oh, great, now what? Like, what kind of issues are we going to have this time? And I remember being so self-conscious, and it wasn't about my body this time, because I felt fine. I had bounced back a lot quicker than my first. I didn't gain as much weight, so there wasn't as much excess skin and stuff. My boobs did not even fill to half of what they were the first time, so I didn't have to worry about that, you know? And I was feeling pretty good about myself until he went in, and then I was like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? I'm broken. And I started crying. And he was like, should I stop? And I was like, yes. And that was, like, pretty much it. So, like, I can say that, like, yes, we did it. But I wouldn't say that it was successful. And then we talked about it. And I told him. And that was not an easy thing to do. Even for somebody that I'm super comfortable with. Like, there's no secrets. We talk about everything. Like, he's amazing. And I was like, I'm broken. Like, I don't know what's wrong. It doesn't feel right. And I don't know if it's ever going to feel right again. And that was a serious issue for me. And I could not get out of my head after that. And then I found out why. And it was like, okay, this is fixable, most likely. Like, this isn't the end of the world. But man, in those couple, like, moments, I really thought that that was it.
Like, yeah, I thought, like, this is my life. And
yeah, we're never gonna have. Yeah, he finds me unattractive. Like, he thinks that it's gross now. Like, it doesn't feel good for him.
Yeah.
Look at the sheep. Look at the sheep. Mommy's holding you. Oh my goodness. And so, you know, I had to deal with all of that. And talking to him was huge. And I cannot stress that enough. If you are able to talk to your partner, like, just do it. And they may not completely understand. They may not be as supportive as you'd like them to be. But, I mean, all you can do is try, right? And if I hadn't talked to him and tried, like, I would never have known how supportive he was and this, that, and the other. And, like, we were able to work through it and work together. And, you know, it's good now.
Well, and that's the biggest thing is you need to have open communication. Because what happens is if you're struggling and you don't want to talk about it, then your husband or your partner will think that maybe you have a problem with them. And then there becomes a discommunication.
And then all of a sudden, that alone causes issues.
On top of having kids, right? Because now you're like, oh, fuck, we don't have time together. We don't get to date. We don't get to do anything because we have kids. And then you're like, okay, we're going to have sex. But then you have sex. And then now you're like not feeling it. They're like, well, you don't want to be with me. Like,
yeah. And honestly, I think that ends up being a lot of people's problems because I see that so often in friendships and stuff that I've seen with other people. Like, they disconnect from their partner. They don't talk to them. They think that it's all their fault, that they've done something wrong, or, you know, this, that, and the other. And if you guys just talk to each other instead of pushing each other away, I mean, don't get me wrong, some men, it's just not going to ever work with, no matter how hard you try. But most of them, just talk to them. Open up. Be honest. You made that baby together, you know, even if they weren't there when you pushed it out.
Yeah.
You made that baby with them or with somebody else or whoever it is. But it still takes two people to do those things. And I don't know about you, but to me, if you can't talk to your partner about sex and sexual things, you probably shouldn't be having sex with them.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, that's something that you need to have if you're going to have that kind of relationship with somebody.
Absolutely.
So, so that was that for me. And I still, after having two kids, don't feel completely like myself. I still am very much in mom mode, and it's like, come back to me when I need to make another baby, otherwise stay away from me because I don't need you. And that's totally not fair, but it's again not something that people talk about. It's, oh, you're depressed, oh, you're hormonal, or you're this, that, or the other. And it's like, maybe I just actually don't need my husband right now because I'm focused on taking care of my children.
Well, yeah, because like,
and myself and the house.
We become moms as soon as we get pregnant and then we have babies, right? And it's just like your second and my first both were like, I don't want my dad. Don't give me to my dad. I don't want anything to do with him. And so then you're like, okay, I'm going to juggle wifehood, motherhood, and make sure the house doesn't implode.
And still try to be yourself.
And and then try to be like, oh, yeah, by the way, there's a me here. There's a me here.
It doesn't happen.
No.
You lose yourself. You always end up losing yourself before you lose anything else. Or you escape. You run away. I know some women that, for them, they need to go back to work. Going to work is their sanity. That's the way that they keep that balance, you know?
Yeah.
What's wrong? We need to go that way? Okay. So some women go to work, and that's better. Some just go out all the time, you know, some get a nanny, some, you know, like there's so many different ways to deal with it. And there really isn't a wrong way to deal with it.
No. And that's what I'm saying. Like, and there's no wrong or right way to, like, it's whatever works for you is what works for you. But the biggest thing
you have to talk to your partner
is you need to have communication. There has to be, because if you don't communicate and you don't let the people know, or your people or whoever it is know what's going on, how can they help you?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So that's basically like the all in all of it. So I just want to thank you for taking the time to come on and talk with me about this, because my child is upstairs and he's starting to get antsy. And your children I think you're going to be coming on a lot more.
We have so many things. Like, there's so many things that we didn't get to talk about this time that we talked about this morning. So we will have to do this again and cover more things.
Well, we can do more. Absolutely. And we can do it
like you can do it monthly, or maybe you'll just become another like host on my podcast.
We can just do this every week because I mean, we need to catch up and stuff anyways. Absolutely. So why not?
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, and I mean, hey, if we can help somebody else out, then
yes,
that's awesome.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you. And I will, like, I will shoot you a message.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Okay. No problem. Thank you. Bye. Okay. Bye.